The Ozarks at Large podcast is made possible by KUAF's contributing listeners. Support from individual listeners in our community helps pay for the cost of producing and distributing this podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast and other digital media produced by KUAF, you can make a contribution at supportkuaf.com.
This is a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas, 91.3 KUAF. This is a Friday edition of Ozarks at Large for October 5th, 2018. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ahead this hour, Michael Tilley on a big workforce grant for both Fort Smith and Northwest Arkansas. The latest exhibit at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville challenges us to think about what is Native American art. Becca Martin Brown from the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette gives us options away from the football field for the weekend. And in our Furman Garner Performance Studio, we'll host both the Jersey Boys and the Vine Brothers. That's all this hour. Then tomorrow morning on Weekend Edition on 91.3, the twists and turns included in the Supreme Court saga and the possible ramifications for November when Americans cast their ballots. Plus, a story from Syria about a veteran trying to find his peace. Weekend Edition with Scott Simon tomorrow morning from 7 to 9 on 91.3 KUAF. And we launch this Friday edition of Ozarks at Large, as we most often do, with Michael Tilley from his office in Fort Smith. Michael is with Talk Business and Politics. You can find him online at talkbusiness.net. Michael, are you doing well this Friday?
Yes, I think no one's told me different, so I think I am.
Let's begin our conversation with a workforce grant. This comes from the Walton Family Foundation. It's for workforce training in both Fort Smith and Northwest Arkansas. What do we know about it?
Well, it's an interesting collaboration. It's a $1.3 million grant to be shared by the two regions. In Northwest Arkansas, it's not a surprise. We have, you know, the Northwest Arkansas Council and several other players have really for the last two or three years talked frequently about the need for not only, you know, high-tech workers for, you know, the J.B. Hunt's and Tyson Foods and for the Walmart, for all that Walmart's doing with technology, but for also for the skilled trades, for you know, blue-collar type work, construction work. And so this grant in Northwest Arkansas, they've already announced that they'll hire Jim Rollins, I think. Jim Rollins, and he will, Joe Rollins, and he will coordinate all those efforts in the Fort Smith area. The chamber, the Fort Smith Regional Chamber, will manage that, and their goal is to hire, and this is really kind of an offshoot of the millage that Fort Smith voters, the millage increase that Fort Smith voters recently approved. Tim Allen, head of the chamber, said that when that was passed, that the foundation, Jim Walton, came interested in helping the region, you know, better coordinate its workforce training efforts. And so Tim Allen, they want to hire, they're going to conduct a nationwide search to hire someone to manage this. And what it is, you know, the university, for example, the University of Arkansas at Fort Smith has what's called the WATC, Western Arkansas Training Center, where they bring high school kids in from around the region and they learn, you know, auto mechanic work and different, you know, a lot of different skills, trade skills. And other groups have things that are going on. What this person will do, try to better coordinate, increase communication between those things, hopefully avoid duplication, also look out for best practices or different types of things that will work in other metro areas and maybe try to incorporate those in the Fort Smith metro. But it's a very interesting concept. It seems on the surface to be very progressive. And if they can pull it off, and that's the big if, Kyle, you know, if they can pull it off in both regions, it would send a message to the outside world that, you know, the regions are serious about workforce development and they have a system in place to make it happen. From everything we hear from Governor Hutchinson to Mike Preston, who's head of Arkansas Economic Development Commission, workforce, the access to a talented workforce is one of the top, if not the top thing they hear from companies looking to relocate or expand. You will have two metro areas, you know, stacked on top of each other that will have this type of coordinated workforce effort. There's a lot of strength in that. And like I said, it could be a good recruitment tool.
There hasn't always been a lot of strength in the beer you could buy in Oklahoma. when you hear the words Oklahoma beer, The next thing that you often think is 3.2 because that's a lighter alcohol content. But things are changing in Oklahoma, aren't they?
Yeah, well, things have changed.
Have changed, right.
Oklahoma voters in November 2016 changed the state constitution. They can only have it's alcohol by weight content, about 3.2%. But they changed it. There are a lot of changes, but the one our story deals with is that what's called strong beer, or just the beer you can get in Arkansas, it can be sold in supermarkets, grocery stores, convenience stores, drug stores, warehouse clubs, and super centers. But what happened is, October 1st was the transition date for when you could sell that. And we talked to Matthew Holland at Bellpoint Beverages. They're based in Fort Smith. They service Sequoia, LaFleur, and Latimer County in Oklahoma. And what had happened, I guess, long story short, was that Anheuser-Busch, Bellpoint delivers Budweiser products, both alcoholic, non-alcoholic products. Anheuser-Busch cut it, said, we don't want to have a bunch of 3.2 beer left over. So they cut it off early. And Bellpoint had to go to Tulsa a couple times to bring 3.2 beers still to sell. A lot of shelves, Matthew said pictures, we've got one picture with the story. You can just see shelves that are empty. And so people had to go to other places or come to Arkansas to buy beer. But that is now over. And I think what's going to be interesting now, Kyle, is the consumer trend for a border city like Fort Smith, for a large border city like Fort Smith. It'll be interesting to see the consumer trend. Will those folks who live in Oklahoma and maybe work in Fort Smith, will they still get their beer in Arkansas, or now that they can get the same type of beer at their local convenience store or supermarket, will they get it there? So I think that's what Bellpoint's watching for now.
Finally, the unexpected is expanding. There's going to be music. There's tech. It's becoming a bigger festival. I had some of the musicians that are going to be playing in the Furman Garner Performance Studio. They're very excited. This is an event that keeps expanding.
Well, they're calling it the Outlier Series, and you hit it. It's going to add music. There'll be even a lecture series. They're going to bring in Thomas Frey. He's a senior futurist. He's one of Google's top-rated futurist speakers. I've heard about him before just because I'm a geek for these kind of things. And we're going to get to interview him ahead of his lecture, which is October 27th. But that'll be a part of it. You'll have, as you mentioned, several bands that will play during the October 26th through 27th period. And the Unexpected Festival begins the 22nd of October and wraps up on the 28th. But they're also going to have art, like a mobile art bus. They're not like a mobile art bus. It will be a mobile art bus that will offer free activity for children. I think that's interesting, but it's just, again, it's another example of how this festival that began, you know, just a few years ago, putting some murals up on walls, has now become a very broad event in terms of many aspects of culture, art, music.
All right. Well, last week, the Arkansas Razorback football team looked better against Texas A&M. Tomorrow.
Texas A&M was playing an off game. I'm not sure which. Anyway.
Well,
I'll go with better.
Okay. So some momentum gained. Now, guess what? Here comes the steamroller into Reynolds Razorback Stadium tomorrow. Hazard a guess of what the final score will be tomorrow when Alabama and Arkansas are done playing?
Do we know if the new scoreboard goes to three digits?
I think we know what you're saying.
Okay.
Michael Tilley is with Talk Business and Politics. You can see that picture of the empty beer shelves that were at Bellpoint and so much more at talkbusiness.net. Michael, have a great weekend. Talk to you next Friday.
All right, I will, and you as well.
Thank you.
SONA, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, presents its 64th season beginning November 3rd at Walton Arts Center. The seven-concert season features classical masterworks programs, a Christmas Pops performance, and a special concert for families, all performed by a full orchestra under the baton of Maestro Paul Haas. Tickets and subscriptions at 443-5600 or sonamusic.org. Restore Humanity's 2018 Winetopia will be held Friday, October 19th, 7 to 10 p.m. at the Pratt Place Barn in Fayetteville. This annual fundraiser features wine, craft beer, and bourbon tasting, along with cuisine provided by a variety of local restaurants, a wine toss, and more. Proceeds benefit Restore Humanity and their work in Kenya. Tickets and information at restorehumanity.org. The Scott Family Amazium in Bentonville presents Wednesday morning interactive programs for early learners, 6 months to 6 years old. These programs engage children and caregivers in age-appropriate, hands-on discovery of science, technology, engineering, art, and math. Workshops run now through May. Amazium.org/programs for more.
A new exhibit at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville is examining the artwork of Native American artists over the last 7 decades. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda attended yesterday's media preview, and she has this report.
What comes to mind when you think of Native American art? Curator Mindy Besaw hopes to expand that perspective through a new exhibition at Crystal Bridges.
Not only are we trying to show you the rich variety of ways in which artists were working in media, so textiles, paintings, drawings, and you'll see even more as you come around the corner, but also style. We're trying to get people to kind of go, oh, I didn't even think of, if I were to understand or what's my perception of Native American art?
Art for a New Understanding, Native Voices, 1950s to Now, features around 80 paintings, photos, videos, and sculptures created by 40 indigenous U.S. and Canadian artists, including Spider-Woman Theater. Founded in 1976 by sisters Lisa Mayo and Gloria and Muriel Miguel, Spider-Woman Theater is the oldest continually running women's theater company in North America. The group challenges stereotypes and champions feminism through storytelling, dance, and music. Representation and land are themes that run throughout the exhibition. In John Quick-to-See Smith's work, Trade, Gifts for Trading Land with White People, items like a Cleveland Indians ball cap, an Atlanta Braves sticker, and a little Native American doll hang above a large painting of a canoe. Curator Candace Hopkins says the artist is making a tongue-in-cheek gesture.
So you have all of these pieces on top that come in to stand in for very complex cultural conversations, and they're these reduced forms of stereotypes. So you have them here on hats. And as you know, right now, there's an increasing debate and conversations happening about logos that are used for sports teams, because those are not based on real people. They're really reductive representations of a culture, and they often then fix in people's mind a very reduced idea of a very complex, not only culture, but variety of cultures. And so what she was proposing with this work is, you know, this question of how to get land back, and she was saying, perhaps we could trade some of these tchotchkes, you know, you could take these back for the land that you took from us.
Kent Monkman uses humor to address a serious issue in his work, History is Painted by the Victors. The large landscape painting is based on a work by American artist Albert Bierstadt. Curator Mindy Besaw says Monkman has adapted the barren landscape by populating it with mostly naked soldiers relaxing near a body of water. At the center of the artwork is a uniquely dressed Native American.
That's Kent Monkman's alter eagle, Miss Chief Eagle Testicles. And so she is wearing thigh-high pink boots, and she is painting a scene.
The people she's painting are Lieutenant Colonel George Custer and his men.
And if you know the history of the Battle of Little Bighorn, Battle of Greasy Grass, as the Plains people would call it, who were the victors in that battle? Not Custer, right? So it was the Plains tribes that had come and triumphed. And so Monkman is playfully taking back the authorship of this and sort of portraying Custer and his men in these idle moments before the battle. And all of the poses and the little groups of figures here, this one here, for example, are based on Thomas Aiken's paintings and photographs. So the American artist from the late part of the 19th century. So using American art history as that jumping off point to tell his own story, to reverse that perspective and narrative.
Some of the works in the exhibit are so new, they're being created this week. Tulsa-based artist Yatica Fields is painting a mural near Bentonville's downtown square. The mural is located on a wall of Cripps Law Firm. Fields is paying tribute to the building's history by incorporating the image of a blindfolded woman holding scales.
And in particular with what we're doing today and how the economy is and how the social construct is and how there's a lot of unrest, I feel like, you know. I feel like it's fitting. And therefore, the blindfold is kind of coming open on one end of the eye, so she's actually seeing, so it's not totally blinded anymore. And so I kind of changed it to where it works with today.
Fields says the image is juxtaposed with a sword coming down with the swift action of justice.
Also, but it's swift actions of other things, resistance and stuff like that happening now. And then I've embellished it with other adornments, things pertaining to my culture, I'm Osage Cherokee and Creek, and things pertaining to my past references that I use in my paintings as well. So it's kind of just a mixture of imagery and touches based on social context. There's also the statue down in the square, which is a Confederate statue. So this mural kind of alleviates ills due to that. And it kind of faces that as well. So with the sword and with the blindfold open facing that, it kind of directs this message right to that, but also kind of takes away from it.
Having an exhibition that features so many Native American artists is important, Fields says, because it's not something you see often.
You go to American contemporary museums, you rarely see Native artists involved in that, you know, and that's something we're trying to break as Native artists. You know, it's always a discussion, you know, so what's the state of Native art? How can we include it in the contemporary mainstream media and galleries? You know, so that discussion is always happening. When you see something like Crystal Bridges have an exhibition like this, it's really powerful because that's part of that discussion. That's part of that movement and heading in the right direction. It's letting the public know, you know, we're here, yes. We've come this far. This has worked from the past and this is now. So it's kind of really educating the public. And that's what it's about, dialogue and education. You know, that's how we get to understand things and move forward.
Art for a New Understanding, Native Voices, 1950s to Now, is on view tomorrow through January 7th. General admission is free. More information is available at crystalbridges.org. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Antoinette Grajeda was busy yesterday. She was at Crystal Bridges for that preview in the morning, then in the afternoon in our Furman Garner Performance Studio with the Vine Brothers.
Truck stop in the state morning, 15 more hours till I lay down my head. Oh, I count down the miles till Tennessee's over, foot full of lead. Guess I'll sleep when I'm dead. I'll get me to Arkansas.
The Vine Brothers are back at the Carver Center for Public Radio later on this edition of Ozarks at Large.
Thanks to the hundreds of KUAF listeners who gave during last week's on-air fundraiser, we raised $143,000 toward our goal of $150,000. Because of your support, KUAF can bring you vitally important news coverage from national programs and the voices of your neighbors on Ozarks at Large. If you missed the on-air fundraiser, you can support your public radio station at any time at supportkuaf.com. And thank you.
It's Friday, the first Friday in October. And Lee Wood, membership director at KUAF, is going to make somebody happy.
I hope so. Yes, okay, so it's the first of the month, and we are going to choose a winner for the Have a Night Out on Us program that we started earlier this year. Just saying thank you to the donors who give to KUAF, and randomly pulling a name out of our database at the first of each month. This month's winner, Sharon Alured, I hope I'm pronouncing your last name right, in Alma.
Sharon in Alma.
Yeah. We're going to send you some movie passes, a restaurant gift certificate, some other goodies from the station, and just kind of a thank you package for supporting your public radio station.
And this is, I watched this happen. You randomly pick one of the more than 3,000 households.
Exactly.
And then it's anyone who's given in the last year is eligible.
That's absolutely correct. And so, and then, you know, we don't make you come pick it up. I'll just send it to you in the mail. If you don't hear this, Sharon, I hope it'll be a lovely surprise.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. And so we'll do this again in early November.
Yes, we will.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you, Kyle.
Big girls won't cry. Big
tonight, the Jersey Boys are back on stage at Walton Arts Center. The musical Jersey Boys debuted on Broadway 13 years ago and follows the rise of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons as they became pop music icons. There is, of course, plenty of familiarity with the songs that were made famous by the four men. The run at Walton Arts Center is brief. 5 shows in 3 days beginning tonight. This morning, the actors who are the title characters on the national tour came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio. Johnny Wexler, Eric Chambliss, Corey Greenan, and Jonathan Cable are Frankie, Bobby, Tommy, and Nick, respectively. Offstage, they're not Jersey Boys. They grew up in Ontario, Illinois, Indiana, and California. But they say this production allows them to transform easily.
In my experience, just say the words that they tell us to say. You know, it's such a well-written script that you can't really mess it up, if you know, just as long as you're just doing what's on the page there.
Yeah, I think early on in the process, we do a lot of dramaturgy and stuff like that, and kind of go through their backstory, but also the backstory of the time and kind of what was taking place politically that kind of gave the possibility for this kind of meteoric rise to stardom. So from that point of view, I think we're all kind of pretty well versed in that sort of kind of literary sense. And then, yeah, I guess just looking at each other and saying the words helps.
And of course, we do work with dialect coaches, and you know, they definitely want to get the details right. But
excuse
me. Yeah.
And a certain pride. I think there's a pride that comes out of Jersey that you get from the script too that comes through in the show.
Yeah, it's really
we swear a lot if that's what you're asking. It's killing me right now to restrain myself.
The language really helps shape the feeling, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not just a certain place, but like you said, Jenny, it's a time, it's an era.
Yeah, you know, and one of the things that kind of makes the show really special for a lot of people is that, you know, this music represents different experiences or times in their life. People might have had their first kiss or their first dance to some of these songs. And, you know, as much as they're watching us do the show, you know, on some level, we're also watching them kind of go through this experience. Mm-hmm. And you see that and you see people reminiscing their past or kind of going through their own experience while watching the show. And, you know, it's one of the reasons the show's still here and still as relevant and popular as ever 12, 13 years after, you know, its original inception.
You know, it's interesting because you were talking about the audience reaction to the music. There are people alive that remember when it came out, right? Mm-hmm. They grew up with it. There are people in my generation that maybe didn't grow up with most of it, but it was still very prevalent.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then there are people in the audience who, if not, maybe they're hearing it for the first time, but it doesn't connect to them in that same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think, like, there are definitely those different categories of people. I think that over the years, Bob and Frankie have done such an amazing job of getting
Bob
their music
Gaudio
out.
And Frankie Valli.
Yes, getting their music out there, whether it's in radio, commercials, it's really kind of permeated through our society, and you can you hear it everywhere.
Yeah.
And once you kind of start to, like, listen for it, you start to really hear it. And so, yeah, there are people that know the music, love the music, come to see the show, but there's also this, like, amazing group of people that don't think they know the music.
They know more than they know.
And you know, like, then they sit there and go, oh, they wrote that song. Oh, they wrote that song. Oh, they wrote that song, too. And so, you know, by the end of it, they're like, oh, I just didn't know that they wrote all these hit songs that I know. Yeah. You know, so it's kind of an interesting experience for people.
Of course, these were great friends who came together organically, right? I mean, they were put together. So do you have to consciously think about the fact that you're four gentlemen who were cast in something together?
Yeah, well, and you're thinking about...
Yeah, it's terrible to
be cast in this group.
Yeah, it's rough.
But yeah, you're playing guys that are, 3 out of 4 are still alive, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you want to do that justice because they're, you know, they could come see the show and you're not trying to do a caricature of these people. I mean, these are real people, you know, across the board throughout the show. And,
So yeah, I think that what we try to do is just form real relationships, you know, as you should on stage as well as off stage. And, you know, there's an energy that picks up there and you start to develop this camaraderie and that just fits naturally into the tale that we tell each night.
Yeah, I think also we're kind of given an extra gift of actually being on tour and being on the road. Yeah. You know, like, the show is about that and about kind of what that does to a group of guys, both positively and negatively. You know, they say in the show, the road is the road. So it kind of... I mean, I'm sure the guys in New York have a strong bond as well, but for us, we really are traveling and living together and mm-hmm. you know, having to hang out together and do that because they're paying us. And
well, I mean, you know,
I kid.
But you bring that up, and there is a certain sort of, I don't know, romantic, nostalgic. I mean, you can imagine that Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons would have been at a radio station on a tour.
Absolutely, yeah.
Doing an interview.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a lot of it is not hard to act at all. It really is just art imitating life, imitating art. Like, it's just our lives, and we get to tell it on stage every night for real, in a way.
You know, we constantly go to places where, I mean, they've been, and people are like, oh, here's a story about, or here's a thing, or, you know.
In Ohio, like, we saw both the hotel where they forgot to pay their bill, and then we saw the jail that they were taken to and had to stay a weekend at in Springfield, Ohio.
Johnny Wexler, Eric Chambliss, Corey Greenan, and Jonathan Cable are Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons in the national touring production of The Jersey Boys. That is at Walton Arts Center this weekend. You can find times for all five productions at waltonartcenter.com. The four actors were in the Furman Garner Performance Studio this morning. This is Ozarks at Large.
Walton Arts Center's Starlight Jazz Series presents George Brooks' Espada, Friday, October 12th at 7:30 p.m. Renowned saxophonist and composer George Brooks and his group of diverse musicians will bridge jazz and Indian classical music into Indian jazz fusion. It's music for the modern era. WaltonArtsCenter.org or 443-5600 for tickets. The Arkansas Alumni Association will host the 74th Alumni Awards Celebration October 19th at the Fayetteville Town Center. This signature event features a cocktail reception, plated dinner, and awards program. More information at 575-2292 or online, arkansasalumni.org/awards2018.
It's Friday, the fifth day of October 2018, here in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
Okay, you just gave me the look like, where are we and how did you get here? Yeah. I walked through the door just like I always do.
October can be a busy time and I can just be a little bit disjointed.
Who are you?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a ball game tomorrow.
Alabama, Arkansas.
11 o'clock.
Yep.
Those of us who have grown up here know that anything else you might want to do for entertainment on a game day needs to be predicated on where you'll be when the game starts and where you'll be when the game ends.
Yes.
Because I lived on Hill Avenue for years, and you had to know what time the game started and what time the game ends. So today, our recommendations are ways to keep you out of all of that.
Okay.
Junk Ranch. Junk Ranch is one of those people take things and turn them into other things, sort of vintage, repurposed, upcycled sales opportunities. Mm-hmm. They'll have all of the other fall stuff. They'll have funnel cakes and roasted nuts and kettle corn and all the things that go with a fall crafts fair. But they'll also have 200 booths full of rusty things and recycled things and things you can hang on the wall and things you can turn into planters. And it's just fun. This is like 5 years now for Junk Ranch. It's until 5 o'clock today, 9 to 5 on Saturday. And here's the bonus. It's at 11195 Center Point Church Road in Prairie Grove.
I mean, you'll be going against the traffic.
Which is better than going with it, right? It's $10 if you go today. It gets you back in free tomorrow. $5 tomorrow, and you can find out more at thejunkranch.net. Or you can go north to Bentonville. Mm-hmm. Bentonville High School is hosting its first marching band competition.
Right. Tell me more about this.
It's a big deal. They've got 17 bands coming from across Arkansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma. And it's a fundraiser to help alleviate travel costs for the 200-plus students in the BHS band. It starts with preliminaries at 11 a.m. tomorrow. BHS performs at 6:45. And then finals start at 7. So you could go for Bentonville at
6:30. Stay for the finals. Winners will be announced at 10:15. $10 to $20, it's at Tiger Stadium, BentonvillePride.com. If you're going up north to the band competition, Bentonville Public Library is having its fall book sale. Books and magazines and DVDs and CDs.
CDs. Yes. That gets me excited. Yes.
9 to 4:30. They say most items are a dollar or less. It's Tinkerfest at the Scott Family Amazium, so you could make a whole day of it in Bentonville. That starts at 9 and runs till 4. It's a chance to go and play with different kinds of things than they usually have. It's $9.50 to get in. Or you could start early up in Bella Vista for the Wiener Take All benefit races. Dachshunds and other breeds. It starts at 10 at Loch Lomond Softball Complex. It's $25 to race and free to watch. They're cruising the square in Huntsville.
Classic cars, right?
Classic cars and food and music and crafts and all sorts of things. 10 to 2, judging starts at 11. $20 to enter. Admission is free. There's a fall festival in Fort Smith celebrating Judge Parker's birthday. That's from 2 to 4, and tickets are $5 to $7, regular museum admission. And then if you're down that way, you can keep going to Subiaco Abbey.
For that concert tonight, or tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, which will be amazing. It's Schola Cantorum and the World Music Ensemble from the university, Songs from the Camino. I've heard amazing things about it.
This is free, too.
Yes, and it starts at 7:15. So that should keep you out of the heart of Fayetteville, unless you just decide to be here.
Right, and celebrate the big
victory
upset.
Of the Hawks.
There you go. Becca Martin Brown, features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
That's tabla master Zakir Hussain and saxophonist George Brooks. And I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz. This week on the show, we'll hear more music from George Brooks in an interview in anticipation of his concert at Walton Arts Center. We'll also hear a brand new CD with Diana Krall and Tony Bennett together. This and much more Friday evening and Saturday morning right here on KUAF. That's Shades of Jazz.
We're going to hear some music from inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio, courtesy of the Vine Brothers, in just a moment. Antoinette Grajeda talked with them yesterday. But first, let's make some people happy because they'll be able to hear live music inside George's Majestic Lounge a week from tonight. Amy Helm will be playing at George's Friday night, a week from tonight, beginning at 8. And we said yesterday at the end of the show that if you wanted to participate and a chance to win two free tickets, you could. Just send us an email to ozarksatlarge@gmail.com. And Gary Wooten, you're getting two tickets to see Amy Helm a week from tonight at George's Majestic Lounge. And guess what? So is Joel. And Joel, I hope I'm getting your last name correctly, but I'm probably not. Giaruso? Joel, we'll be in contact. You too have two free tickets to see Amy Helm at George's Majestic Lounge a week from tonight, beginning at 8. We'll be in contact and get those tickets to each of you. Congratulations and thanks for listening. When all three members of your band live in different cities, two on the East Coast, one in Fayetteville, it can be difficult to coordinate schedules and organize tours. However, the Vine Brothers have made it work for 5 years. After a number of successful tours, the trio decided to take off much of this year to reconnect with family and work on other musical projects. In September, the group hit the road again, and their tour has brought them to Northwest Arkansas. Yesterday, Greg Bucking, Joe Credit, and Garrett Jones stopped by the Carver Center for Public Radio to speak with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda. They talked about new songs they've been working on and performed their new single, Get Me to Arkansas.
to say, will get me to Arkansas.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and I am joined inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio by the Vine Brothers. Welcome back.
Hey, Antoinette.
Hello.
Hello.
Thanks for coming back. We appreciate it very much. It's been kind of a quiet 2018 up until now. You guys have taken some time off. What have you been doing in your time off? Just hanging with family or?
Yeah, mostly. Chopping wood.
Chopping wood.
And writing songs.
Working on my house.
Are you building a house?
No.
Oh.
I wish I was building a house. I'm fixing one up.
Was there anything that prompted taking the time off?
We've been going pretty hard for a bunch of years with the touring, and since we live in different areas, it makes it difficult sometimes. You know, it has its advantages because we have different places where to stay and different networks. But after a couple of years, it kind of. We decided maybe let's kind of chill out and then come back a little bit later, and it was good. I think we got a lot of new songs, over the course of the winter. So now we're ready to go with new stuff
and you want to think about
feeling refreshed. Touring. You know, instead of playing the same places and the same songs that like we have for years, so it's.
It's nice. Getting ready to start working on our new album as of tomorrow, so that'll be fantastic. But yeah, they've come back with a plethora of material from this last year of just being able to have the time to sit down and write. And that's the whole other thing. Like, if you're traveling constantly, it's just difficult to try and come up with creative tidbits here and there. You're trying to fill up all the little spaces. Mm-hmm. Most of it's road trips and getting to venues and repeating the process over and over again. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have a couple moments to reinvigorate your imagination and take a breather. And
do different things musically, I did a lot of solo stuff, like hosting the open mic up in New York, and just kind of just totally different, things. And you kind of forget about like what we've done, like the songs. So like when we come back, they're a lot more fresh because I haven't been playing it every day for a year. So that was real helpful.
So did you guys decide to write songs separately and then throw them in the hat, or did that just sort of happen organically?
Yeah, that's usually what we do. Uh-huh. It's mostly Joe and I. One or the other of us will write something, and then we'll bring it to the group. And then Garrett does a lot. He's really good with the arranging and different orchestration of the parts. And we just, come in. One person comes in with the initial seed, and then the group makes,
starts collaborating on it.
Makes it a thing.
One of us brings a block of clay. The rest of us make a sculpture.
There you go.
I like it.
Yeah.
One of the new songs that you've come up with, you played for us today, Get Me to Arkansas. Were you guys missing Arkansas, not being here for a couple months?
It's actually an older song. Wrote it like 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
It's more about the trip of getting there as well. So
actually, like the drive here?
Yeah, Tennessee's a very, very, very long state. So.
Oh, is this when you're driving through Tennessee?
Well, it's kind of, that's part of it. I mean, it's like... what we were just talking about before with where we were really touring hard for a number of years, we kind of kept doing these runs where you're in the car all day and all night. And so it's a little bit of that feeling. So like I said, that was a couple of years back when that was happening. So now it's kind of coming back to it. And it is what it is.
Well, what are some of the other new songs that you're hoping to put on the album?
Well, we have this other one called the Breadbox Tribute that Joe's written.
It's kind of a tribute to a tribute to a tribute to a tribute band.
Yeah.
Well, okay, tell me more. What tribute band?
It's a parody. I really enjoy jam bands, so I decided to write a parody jam band song. So, uh-huh. One of the a band that we really like is the imaginary band Breadbox, and so it's a tribute to that imaginary band Breadbox.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a non imaginary band jam band that's your favorite?
I used to like Fish. I really like Fish, and that's basically a lot of the template for that song.
Have you gotten to see them perform?
Many times. Yeah, I've seen them a lot.
What makes a good jam band? Because there's plenty out there, but...
I think...
I get burnt out on them, to be honest. I'm not going to lie over here. Yeah. That's just me, so yeah, same thing too long for too long.
I'm really interested in the drums. I really like the way that the jam band's drums work. That's actually the biggest one that I like.
Okay, so a tribute to a tribute to a tribute to a tribute band.
Yeah, imaginary tribute band
on the album. What are some of the other songs that you guys have come up with? Because is there any sort of theme? Because if you were writing them separately, wasn't like you sat down, I assume, with a plan?
Speaking for the songs that I wrote, they're sort of, sort of a personalized take on the greater social scene going on. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of, which is basically most songwriting, but sort of just kind of reflecting the place where I was for the past year or so, the ups and some very low downs, and we'll see when we get it out.
Okay.
I'm all over the place.
Yeah, he's gone schizo on this.
Yeah,
right. So
every like month or so, something would occur to me, and I would write it down, and then turn it into a song.
Uh-huh.
And so it's all different stuff over the period of the year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, earlier this week, you guys were in New York, I think Monday, and you were at a recording studio there.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about that project? Oh, that sounded unique.
It was so much fun. So we were working. This company are called Least of All Recording in Brooklyn, and basically what they do is they cut individual single vinyl tracks straight to disc, which never, you don't see that hardly anymore.
No.
Like people do like mass-produced records and stuff, but these are just, you do your one take and it goes straight to the vinyl and you have it, sort of thing. But it's a small little studio, nothing big at all, but maybe three little rooms that they had set up, a control booth, and then two additional rooms on top of that. But it was very similar to like today, where we're working just with a single can mic and you're trying to figure out exactly where to place yourself. So it's very much done more of a traditional sense of recording as well from the early 1900s. So it was a whole lot of fun. We've never had the opportunity to do this before, and that was something we've always wanted to be able to like solidify our songs onto something that's going to last a lot longer than a CD or a digital medium or something like that, where, I mean, these are all things that eventually fade out of time or get transitioned into something different. And vinyl, so far, they're pretty indestructible, and they will last you centuries if you take care of them. So just don't put them in your car and leave them in sunlight and things, and they'll hold up. So it's finally nice to have something, though, that will be there for a couple of generations just as a legacy project for us. So,
and it was a nice, easy studio experience, because you just go in and it's like, okay, well, let's do the song. And, it's songs that we've done. For the most part, they're all songs we've done a lot.
Yeah.
And quick setup, and we spent an hour, two hours there maybe. Yeah. And we recorded. We had like 15 tracks. So it's just, you do it. All right, great. Do the next one. Do that. So it was refreshing. So a lot of times studio is very monotonous, and you're just going over and over the same thing 100 times in a row. And this was just,
it is what it is. It, like, once it's down, it's down.
It's live and easy, and so.
So what'll happen to the vinyl? Are you giving it away?
Some of them went out to customers that ordered.
It was
them.
A pre-order. Yeah, it was a pre-order, so we had some of those. And
we also cataloged some of our own as well that we wanted for our own personal libraries, just to be able to have and have shelved away for later on. So our CDs eventually degrade and
sure.
the digital medium's no more and they've switched to something else, we will still have our vinyls. We'll put it on the record player when I'm... Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Got a really long gray beard.
Yeah.
At some point, we'll do vinyl. We'll do a release with vinyl properly, I guess.
But okay.
We just haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll add that to the list. And it's been a busy to-do list this week. It seems like you were in New York on Monday, and then you drove here. You got here Wednesday?
Yep.
Well, actually, Tuesday night?
Wednesday?
It was Tuesday night, because we left out of Brooklyn on Monday.
Drove
to Pittsburgh that night, and then slept 6 hours in Pittsburgh, and then woke up at 6 and got into Northwest Arkansas at midnight Tuesday night. So this goes back to difficult to write notes in the cars for songs. So
sure.
This has been our life the last 6 years, basically. So it's been nice to have some time to work through some of this stuff now. And now we're back hitting it hard, and we're going to be in the studio for the entire next week back here in Fayetteville,
mm-hmm.
working probably 14, 15 songs on this as well, basically between the two of you. We'll see which ones stick. So
okay.
It's not a guarantee that's how
many. Yeah, we're in the beginning stages. We just started doing, but we got a lot to work with. So
we're looking forward to seeing what sticks. We were talking about the same thing with these songs, are they thematic or not? That'll be my job, is to try and, to a certain degree, piece this together and see if I can make a overarching theme behind this whole thing. Yeah, and keep the sound. Usually it's the sound that'll unify a lot of these things, mm-hmm. so the topics may change.
Okay.
But the sound behind it's what's going to keep it sounding like the Vine Brothers.
Well, if people want to keep up with where you'll be while you're in town and the progress of the record, they can go to your website.
Yeah, thevinebrothers.com. But we're also big on Instagram, too. Just find us on Instagram at the Vine Brothers. So.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. Best of luck with the recording this week. And when you head home, safe travels.
Thank you for having us. We always love it.
That was Greg Bucking, Joe Credit, and Garrett Jones, who together are the Vine Brothers. They spoke to Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda yesterday afternoon. They'll be performing at 21C Museum and Hotel this evening as part of First Friday. They'll perform next Friday at Black Apple Crossing in Springdale. More information is available at thevinebrothers.com. And before the trio left the studio to continue with their busy visit to the region, they played one more song for us.
We are the Vine Brothers, and this is the Breadbox Tribute.
Living in someone's broken dream. Know what I thought before, but it isn't what it seems. There's some premise on which this all relies. I missed the first shot, but I get three more tries. I may be laughing, but I'm the clown. If I go on thinking you're the same, but what you left here's still around. Step right up and make a claim. Monkey and you just turn the crank. Know how I got here, but I don't know who to thank. Reach for the butterflies, but all I grab is air. And while my back is turned, you gobble up my share. Maybe laughing, but I'm the clown. If I go on thinking you're the same, but what you left here's still around. Step right up and make a claim. You touch the skull and watch the roses grow. You've seen it all before, you think you know. Bluffing, I just raised the bed. It's an old trick, but I ain't learned it yet. I just might win the gold. It's probably better if I do just what I'm told. I may be laughing, but I'm the clown. If I go on thinking you're the same, but what you left here's still around. Step right up and make a claim. I may be laughing, but I'm the clown. If I go on thinking you're the same, but what you left here's still around. Step right up and make a claim.
The Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, the region's daily newspaper, offers up-to-the-minute news coverage with breaking news from NWADG.com. The Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette reports local, state, national, and Razorback news. The Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette, our community, our paper. The Faulkner Performing Arts Center in Fayetteville presents The Hillbenders with opening act Maybe April this Friday, October 5th at 7:30 p.m. The Hillbenders, Missouri-based bluegrass band, will perform The Who's Tommy, covering the original album from start to finish with audience participation. 575-5387 or faulkner.uark.edu for tickets. 91.3 is supported by Butterfield Trail Village, a premier Northwest Arkansas retirement community catering to active lifestyles and resident well-being. Offering a variety of amenities and living options from apartments to village homes, plus on-site fitness facilities. ButterfieldTrailVillage.org for more.
A listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, this is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, and Van Buren. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks so much for being with us for part of your Friday. We're back with a brand new week of all new shows Monday at noon and 7. But before then, there is Weekend Ozarks at Large. Weekend Ozarks at Large every Sunday morning at 9 on 91.3. Some of our favorite pieces from the just completed week and some new material as well. Weekend Ozarks at Large, Sunday morning at 9 on KUAF. If you'd like to share anything you've heard on today's show, you can do that through the links we have available for you at ozarksatlarge.com. You can send them through email or social media. Have a great rest of your Friday. Talk to you Sunday morning at 9.